The payload is coming up here in about 20 minutes, and I don't know how Peyton is going to talk around one subject in particular. It's got me a little concerned.
Sean would veto it. Sean would say, nope, can't do it.
Yeah. Sean would be like, no, we can't talk about that. That has private parts in it. There's a little bit of a preview for you. And Peyton, maybe a way for you to be able to talk around it by calling it that.
I'll say this to Peyton. It's your segment. Talk about what you want.
I didn't. That's why I didn't block it. In fact, the only thing I said to him was I emailed him back. I was like, the three stories here, they're good. I was like, if one or two of these, we quickly find out we can't really talk around these, I would just have a fourth, like, loaded somewhere that you could pivot to so that we don't run out of time.
I got
I knew you would, yeah. But I was like, yeah, if we just run out of time on that subject, I would have an extra one ready to just be able to pivot to.
Freedom of speech, Chuck.
Exactly. That's right. What it is. All right, Von Miller. Von Miller is out there stirring S up. So Von Miller was on social media yesterday, and he posted on his Instagram story, Chop, the Paul Wall song, They Don't Know, and it is an edit, like an Instagram edit, of him in a Cowboys uniform, and he's got the emoji with the, shh, quiet, and then he's got the, I don't know which one it is, when you see the emoji with the air rushing out of their nostrils, is that rushing out like sign, or do you think that's like breathing it in?
I would think it's rushing out. I don't think
I've always thought of it as like,
yeah, I don't
exhaling.
Think you can see what breathes in.
And then he's got the emoji with the cowboy hat on, so it stirred up a bunch of stuff. And then you had Dez Bryant, who was with Von Miller at the World Cup, watching some football recently. Right. And Dez Bryant had quote tweeted it with like the wide eye emoji and then the shh emoji. And it's got a lot of people stirred up, and it's got a lot of people asking, what's going on here? Are we getting an actual like level of interest from the Cowboys? Are the Cowboys actually going to potentially pursue Von Miller? Are we on the precipice of him entering in here ahead of training camp? Like, they realize their edge rushers aren't set and they want some extra help from a veteran, a Hall of Famer? Or is this a guy just screwing with people, trying to get some attention? Like we have seen from players, we have seen several older veterans in the past connect themselves to the Cowboys just to get some chatter going.
I got to be honest, I don't care if he, what, you know, like.
You don't care about what? If he's going to be on this team, or you don't care about?
Like, this, following the social media tea leaves, if he's going to be on this team, he's 37 years old.
It's not even tea leaves, though. He's legitimately, almost directly saying he's coming.
I mean, I'm an ageist, right? We're ageists in football. I don't need 37 years old here.
And at 37, now, to be fair with Von Miller, he's somebody who...
He plays what? He'll play one down a series?
So he's had some... As is the case with a lot of edge rushers, you decline starting around 32.
Yeah.
Like, really is when the big decline comes. He had been pretty effective for Buffalo after he got traded there from... after he signed there after leaving the Rams. But he had in 2023, when Dallas had played them last, he had zero sacks the entire season. He had three quarterback hits. And it was like, all right, dude's done. And then in the last couple of years, bounced back a little bit. 2024 for Buffalo, he had six sacks. And then last year, he managed to get nine for Dan Quinn's defense. Now, we also saw what happened when you brought Dante Fowler in. He wasn't able to replicate what he had done within that defense. So maybe it's just a little bit more optimized for him. I don't remember thinking very much of Von Miller when I did some of the Washington study this season. He didn't pop to me. Now, his PFF grade was 64.4.
Has there been any chatter? I look at it like this. Has there been any chatter among the good teams for him?
There's been no chatter, period.
Right. So that's a no. Good teams who
To be fair, Clowney was that way, too, and then Clowney came in here and played well.
Yeah, but like Clowney has that reputation where like he... No, I don't think anybody even bothers to talk to him until like the calendar turns like mid-August.
But I think after the Carolina stint, people thought he was done.
Yeah.
Like in terms of they thought he's not a very good player anymore.
Yeah, Clowney was fine. There was nothing wrong with Clowney
last
year.
Best pass rusher probably.
For the team last year? Yeah, probably. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so like my view on that is like I would follow who are the teams that are on the cusp of winning.
And let us know on the fan text if you would be interested in Von Miller. 877-881-1053, 877-881-1053, or on the Twitch and the YouTube.
So a team like Buffalo, who just had him in the building.
A couple of years ago, yeah, because it was Washington last year.
But pretty recently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they're not interested in him, that would tell me I shouldn't be interested in him either. Because they just had him a little bit ago. And they're closer to winning than we are. You know, Seattle, the Rams, Green Bay, Detroit, Philadelphia, Tampa, the Chiefs, like, you, teams that are good, Baltimore. If none of those teams are talking to him or have even, and I don't even want to say talk to him, even had any reports.
But to be fair, where Dallas is at, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like where Dallas is right now and how we all view their pass rush, wouldn't you just say like worth a dice roll?
Yeah, I mean, sure, worth a dice roll. I just, like, and it's too late now to find anybody that is going to be, you know, worth, like, that is going to be game-changing anyway. So you're getting depth. That's fine. That's fine. But if you're going to bring him in here, you know it's going to happen. When somebody of his status comes into a place, people are going to think, oh, well, you know, we're getting a name. You know, you're not getting a name. You're getting an old man.
Yeah, I mean, that may be all you're getting is a name. Just because it's like, yeah, it's a reputation, and reputations can be dangerous things. They also, like we said, they can cover you in some instances. Like you can bounce back a little bit. Over on the YouTube, we've got Will B NSFA 9092 says, I immediately thought of his age when Bobby mentioned Von Miller. I agree with Choppy, and they said I would rather get Crosby for the correct price. Which Crosby just, you know, was on that edge rushers list the other day we were talking about where. He essentially tied for the third best edge rusher in football, even after all of his questions. Now you got to see if the Raiders at any point would want to make any sort of a move. But the question being, is he ready to go? And the fan text feels very much unanimous that they'll pass on Von Miller. 4-4-3, Miller's washed. 2-1-4, no, let Von come home to Denver and retire. He's nowhere near what he was. You go get Max from the 2-1-4. 4-6-9 Clowney over Miller. So Fantex feels pretty confident that you don't bring in Von Miller. The question to me of, is it real interest? Like, is he really close? Because talking to people yesterday, it did not sound like there was anything going on. It just sounded kind of like he was fishing. But I was like, all right, well, are you fishing for real interest or is there another reason? I'm not going to play this whole clip. It is long as hell. But I think it shows you where Von Miller's head is at right now and why we could ultimately probably rule this out. I'll tell you when to stop this clip, Paige. But this is RJ Ochoa, good buddy of mine who I've known for years and years. RJ Ochoa from Blogging the Boys was talking with Von Miller on Monday. How convenient is that, Choppy? Monday he's talking to Von Miller, RJ Ochoa is.
Mm-hmm.
And it was part of a promotional thing that he's doing with Raising Cane's. And you know, whenever you do one of those interviews.
Disappointed in Von for that.
Why?
He's an Aggie.
Oh, he should do Lanes. Yeah. Lanes is an Aggies product.
Yeah.
They're
the original, I think.
I think they are a little bit ahead of Raising Cane's. Both of them are good, though. I like both of them. But Von Miller in this interview, you tell me if this sounds like a dude who's interested in football, because RJ Ochoa asked him, hey, have you ever thought about playing for the Cowboys? This was a couple days ago. And he asked him if he's ever thought of playing for the Cowboys. And you tell me if this sounds like a guy who's got his mind on football or a guy who's got his mind on promoing.
I would not be doing my job as a professional if I didn't say, hey, Von, do you want to play for the Dallas Cowboys? Because you've always kind of been linked. That's always just been, maybe that's something you have fun with. Maybe it's just the media doing our job. But what is that to you? Is it a real thing? Is it just kind of a fun thing you talk about with friends and family?
Man, you know what? It would be great to be a Dallas Cowboy. Raising Cane's is a sponsor of the Dallas Cowboys. You know, it's great to have, you know, an owner and founder like Ty Graves to invest, you know, in the future of the future generation of football. Todd has become, you know, a great friend of mine. You know, we had a ton of fun, you know, working together this year. We went to the Kentucky Derby, F1. You know, we went to the Croatia World Cup where they played England. Ty had a suite at Cowboy Stadium. It was amazing. He always brings, you know, people together. And, you know, it's always great to have great experiences like that with Todd and all of the interesting people that he brings around. He's been amazing.
Okay, that's enough.
You know, wow.
He gets asked about, would you play for the guy? Yeah, that'd be amazing. Let me tell you about the Raising Cane's founder.
The owner.
The Raising Cane's is doing some great things for football. And it's like, okay, all right. So you are clearly here for some Raising Cane's, which that's great. Cane sauce is awesome. But it's just, it seems to be very much like, we're just stirring some things up here.
That's it.
As he very clearly just got lost down a Raising Cane's rabbit hole with this answer.
I don't know the bigger. Well, I do know the bigger. The two silly seasons in the NFL are from about, I would say, the Thursday after the Super Bowl until the start of free agency, right?
Mm-hmm.
That gap, right, where you got...
That's where you get silliness. There's also real stuff in there. But, yeah, you gotta sift it. But, you got to sort it out.
You get media. The media's dying for content.
Yep.
The combine doesn't really give you anything. You know, it's like...
Oh, combine's awesome.
It's fun to be there. But, like...
We get lots of buzz.
But it's all underwear. It's underwear Olympics.
Oh, that aspect. You know, I was like the chatter around the city is valuable.
Chatter... You can't write about a lot of that chatter.
You can't run with it. You gotta glean what's real and what's not.
And then this time of year, the 5 weeks between
this is
mini camp and training camp.
This is people get restless. Yeah. This is the only dead period that really exists in football.
And it's you know, because these websites are and these TV shows are 24/7, so these NFL guys have got to come up with they need 10 articles a day. You know, yep. they have their rules they've got to hit, and you get stuff like this where you ask Vaughn about coming to the Cowboys, and he talks about chicken sandwiches.
Hey, there's nothing wrong. No, well, not chicken sandwiches. It's chicken fingers.
Chicken fingers. Sorry, chicken fingers.
Yeah, you can do the sandwiches, I guess.
That's what I mean. I do like the chicken sandwich there.
But like it's a chicken finger sandwich though.
It's different. It's on the toast.
I don't know. I can't do a bite of a sandwich and then have it be. Like it's got to be a full patty. It's got to be all put together. When I've got the spaces in there with the
I get you.
It just the breast is better than the fingers.
The really. Breast is
yeah.
great.
Yeah.
Big fan of the breast.
Yeah, I love getting some breast over getting some fingers.
Yeah, I would think the same thing.
Yeah,
although you know both at the same time, it's not a bad thing.
What are we talking about?
Put chicken fingers.
Oh, chicken fingers
on top of the chicken breast.
Right, there you go. That's what it is. All right, it's Sean and RJ here on 105 The Fan. By the way, real quick reference. I know we mentioned this the other day, and there wasn't a whole lot of detail out about it yet, but there was obviously the news, the development that Marshawn Neyland has been diagnosed with CTE, stage one CTE, after Boston University's CTE Center got a chance to look at him. There are four stages of CTE, so he was in the very earliest stage of it. One of the things that is written about here, they say that according to records obtained by ESPN, there had been concerns about Neyland's mental health. We had mentioned this before, didn't get into specifics, but there had been concerns about Neyland's mental health as far back as 2020 when he was at Western Michigan. In one incident, he was required to turn in his firearm to police until he was cleared by a counselor. And another, a friend called authorities with concern over Neyland's well-being. He was found on railroad tracks saying he hoped a train would run over him and he was hospitalized for it. So Marshawn Neyland had been dealing with a lot of really heavy stuff leading up to what happened, that tragedy that happened last year.
Yeah.
All right, it's Sean and RJ here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, let's all pray. Peyton knows how to play by the rules. It's the payload next on 105 Through the Fan.
The great Bobby Belt. Bobby knows ball. Hey, let's talk ball. We're the ball knowers and we just talk ball.
Or does he? Brian Broaddus doesn't think so.
Uh-oh.
Not after one of my recent segments. Let's talk about it here in Blow the Belt, which is sponsored by D&M Leasing and Window Nation. I'm teasing. Broaddus didn't say anything of the sort that I don't know ball because he knows. He knows I know ball. But he was, I guess, a little triggered by my underrated Cowboys segment from Monday, like some of the fan text was. And I'll be honest, I think a lot of the fan text gets triggered by the name Malik Hooker, in part because they know Brian's evaluation of him, that Brian doesn't think he's a good player. And I don't blame Brian for thinking he's not good enough. I think Brian's a little too harsh on Malik Hooker, but that's his evaluation. I think that he's a better player than he gets talked about like he's Kenneth Murray. He's not Kenneth Murray. That was the whole point of the underrated segment the other day. Who do fans talk about as if it's Kenneth Murray that they're not that? And to me, the guys who they're not even close to being that level and they get talked about like that are Terrence Steele and Malik Hooker. So we talked about it. But Brian has long been wanting to essentially replace Malik Hooker.
Okay.
Which a lot of people have. And you could probably get better at that position. I think the Cowboys did get better at that position this year. And you'll have some notes about getting better at that position here in just a sec. But Brian was doing his segment yesterday at Krusty's Corner. And I guess they talked about this on Love of the Star, the podcast that Brian fired me from. He didn't actually fire me. I'm just kidding, guys. We talked about this on Love of the Star and had brought it up on the air and made sure to know, hey, Bobby, this is to you.
I just don't trust him.
Malik Cooker, not me.
I just don't trust. And I said it this morning on Love of the Star.
Yeah.
My argument is, and this was kind of directed at Bobby Belt.
What?
For, you know, Bobby's like, oh, you guys are underrating Hooker. You
okay,
know,
pause,
and
pause,
I know
pause,
Bobby's
pause,
probably.
We can pick back up from just a little bit before that in a sec. But I didn't say it like that. I didn't say, oh, you know, we're underrating Hooker. That was very dismissive, Brian. Mm-hmm. I said just like, hey, I think maybe we're underrating Hooker a little bit. But anyway, here's Brian.
And this was kind of directed at Bobby Belt.
Damn.
For, you know, Bobby's like, oh, you guys are underrating Hooker. You know, and I know Bobby's probably listening. But Bobby, the Cowboys showed you what they think of the safety room.
Fair.
They showed you that. They showed you with the guys they signed in free agency, the money they spent on Thompson, going out and getting
Locke.
Mm-hmm. They went and they took their first round pick and picked a safety is what they did. They told you what they think. They got rid of Wilson, and yeah. You know, they moved on from guys. Hooker just happened to stay. But they told you, not me or you, Eric, or Zach, or whoever. It's not us saying it. They told you what they think of their safety room.
Mm-hmm.
All of that's completely fair to question. All of that is completely fair to bring out into the open. I will say, because he said, I'm not telling you. I'm telling you what they're telling you they think about it. And that's a fair thing to bring up. I will similarly not even comment on what I think of Malik Cooker at this point. Or what Brian thinks of Malik Cooker. Let's just talk about what we know the Cowboys think of him. And not just, hey, this is what I was told by somebody. Just, I'm going to lay out the scenario to everybody. And you tell me if that sounds like they don't like him or they're not going to have him here. So, Brian's right. They did not like the safety position. They didn't like what they had in the room. They have swapped out a number of parts. He's right. They got rid of Donovan Wilson. They moved on from other people. There were all these sort of things there. The one thing I think he's off on, like I wouldn't even say wrong, he's making a distinction that isn't there, is when he says, they just happened to let Hooker stay. Like he just happened to, when musical chairs ended, he happened to end up with a seat.
Let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think drafting Caleb is them. I mean, look, they obviously, let me rephrase this. Because they did need him. They didn't like the room.
But yeah.
I think they could have loved their safety room and they still draft Caleb.
That's possible. So,
right, because you could have had Kyle Hamilton back there. You're still going to draft him because he's the best player.
Yeah, well, 13 teams didn't draft Kyle Hamilton because they were dummies. But, yes, they should have. But, yeah, he's good enough that he should still supplant somebody who, even if you like them okay, if you've got a chance to get better. Yeah, so that's 100% it. Here's what you can't explain about Hooker being here right now. The Cowboys could have saved $7 million just by cutting Malik Hooker this offseason, and they didn't. Why? They did let other people go. They cut other people. Not only that, they reworked his deal. They renegotiated the contract to keep him here.
Thanks, guys.
Again, just take me out of it, take Brian out of it, whatever. So let's just talk about what the team thinks of him. They told you when they renegotiated his deal, instead of freeing up $7 million that they could have used, they wanted the money. They wanted Hooker here more than that $7 million to the point that they even renegotiated the deal with him. And so I think the important thing to think about, too, is when we're talking about Locke and Thompson and Downs, who they did add, they are all position versatile. They will play things other than safety. They'll play safety, but they'll also play some nickel, or they'll play up in the box and play kind of a pseudo, like, smaller Will linebacker or whatever else. Malik Hooker is going to be the guy who he'll play mostly up in the box, but he can play some deep, whatever else. Hooker is going to be that one guy in the safety room who his position is safety. He's it. So Hooker to me is, you've got the flexible pieces that you added and you wanted them to get better, but you reworked the deal so that you could keep Hooker there as there's the stabilizing safety player we have who's always back there. So Downs will play some nickel. Downs will play some safety. Locke will play up in the box. Locke will play some safety. Jalen Thompson will play nickel. Jalen Thompson will play safety. Jalen Thompson may play corner, like flat-out corner at times. Malik Hooker's always going to play safety. By the end of the year, if you want to talk about snaps taken at the safety position, Malik Hooker's going to probably lead the team in snaps taken at safety, I would guess, because of the way that they're going to use the other pieces.
Right.
So, again, take us out of it. Just the idea of will he be here and how do they think about him and how are they approaching him? He clearly is somebody that they wanted to keep here because they reworked the deal instead of just taking the free $7 million to walk away, even after all their additions.
Mm.
And, Chop, it's because the safety position is now considered more valuable than it ever has been.
Yeah. So this is from, I saw this in sports in SI. Safeties and their versatility have become increasingly important. So offenses have put more tight ends on the field. Only the Texans and the Chargers did not play multiple tight end sets on at least 10% of their offensive snaps.
Dallas was one of the lower ones, but they at least hit 10%, I know.
Every other team, all of the 30 others, had 10% or more of their snaps in two tight end sets.
Yep.
Having safeties who could play in man coverage, also being able to slide down into the box and stop the run, are more valuable than ever. So they went through their top five safety duos. Number five is Cincinnati, Battle and Cook.
Brand new pairing.
Number four is Denver, Jones and Hufanga. Is it Fonga?
Hufanga.
Three is Green Bay, Xavier McKinney and Evan Williams.
Okay. Good bourbon.
Two is the Ravens, Kyle Hamilton and Malachi Starks. And number one is...
You're going to have a hard time. I don't even know who you're about to say. I mean, there are a couple different options. I assume I know who you're going to say, but I have a hard time saying anybody above the Ravens.
It's Atlanta. With Xavier Watts and Jesse Bates the third.
It's a good pairing. I don't think it's better than Hamilton and Starks. Like, Hamilton is a freak. And look, even still, you named all that. Who did you not name in there? Seattle's not in there.
No.
Seattle's got really good safety play. And Nicky Manwari was kind of like a revelation last year. You didn't mention the Chargers and everything that like Derwin James does there. And obviously we're talking about pairings, but this is something that we talked about with Ted Wynn from The Athletic at Super Bowl, is that article that he had written where he had said the safety position has become so unique. And even Christian Parker told us when we were at Combine,
mm-hmm.
he sat there and told us that the safety position now is like a 12th starter. Because they do so many different things for you. We play here. We have you do this. We want these guys who are sort of like nickels, linebackers, safety-like combos.
Can you be a great defense without above-average safeties?
So it's tough.
Ideally, you want your lockdown corners and you want your edge.
In the past, yes, you could. Like if you just had guys who just get it done, like, oh, yeah, we're okay. Then, yeah, in the past, you could. Nowadays, it does feel like you need really effective, like, game-wrecking level safeties.
Yeah.
Or guys who, even if they're not going to wreck the game, they're going to do everything for you. This is the greatest reason why Darren Woodson being out of the Hall of Fame is total BS. It's because Darren Woodson is the forerunner to all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Where Darren Woodson was the guy who would do everything on the field. I go back to the line all the time. Nate Newton said it best. He said, we didn't have sub-packages. We had Darren Woodson. Darren Woodson would change what our defense looked like because he would do whatever was needed. We didn't have to sub anybody off. And they had no idea what we were going to come out doing because they didn't know what Darren Woodson was going to do.
Of those five teams, though, three of them missed the playoffs.
Yeah.
Only one advanced. That was Denver.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't even think they like correctly nailed who the top ones are. Like,
who
to me,
would you put number one?
Baltimore's the top. Baltimore missed the playoffs, obviously, because they had so many other issues. But is it the most important spot on the field? No, it's not. It's not the most important spot on defense. Can you look at it the way teams a lot of times look at Sam linebacker now, like the strong side linebacker, where it's like, do you even really need that? It's kind of like it's a part-time player in a nickel defense and stuff. It's not to that level. It is, if you've got bad safeties, you've got a bad defense. That is definitely a rule. Do you need great safeties to win? I think it's a huge advantage. It doesn't necessarily change things, but with everything they do with the line of scrimmage now and different things as safeties, it's a big factor. So, do you need them to be great in order to win? Probably not. Can you win if your safeties are bad? No.
No.
You can't. It's such a vulnerable thing.
Yeah.
It exposes
the last line of defense.
It exposes you to way too much when the safeties are bad. B-Lo.
D-Bell.
Here on 105 Through the Fan. It is Sean and RJ. No Sean Sharif. He is out all this week. You can come see us on Friday at Just Love Coffee in Grand Prairie. Come on out. See us. Get some Sean and RJ coffee. We got the final hour coming up. We'll do Red Zone at 9:20. Crosstalk with KNC Masterpiece. But up next, it's Brett Boone here on Sean and RJ on 105 Through the Fan.
How are we holding up in there?
We all right, man. I love you, dude. Oh, that is so good.
Alexander hit it to five. His helmet comes off.
Oh, no. He's still running with the football. He's going the other way. Oh, turn around. No, no.
Shut up.
An own goal. Man,
that is awesome. Speaking of own goals, it's still 0-0 in the 81st minute of this quarterfinal between Belgium.
1-1.
No, 1-1. That's 1-1. So I just like saying 0-0. Yes. All right, just let it go. 1-1.
Should we bring nil into the football season?
Jim nil.
Yeah, 7-0, 3-0. Yeah, let's do it. Let's just carry it over 100%. And we did just get breaking news that Shohei Ohtani will not be making his start tonight, and he will not be in the All-Star game. He has knee inflammation. So, no All-Star game. He's been scratched tonight against the Diamondbacks. Yeah, he's just going to get some nice vacation time
they
now.
They need to give him some rest.
For Shohei Ohtani. Shout-out to Hurtado and Reliant AC, proud sponsors of Krusty's Corner. Here he is, King of the Krusty's, Broadus.
Hey, kids! Your old pal Krusty's going to teach you 5 new words.
You're not wrong about that.
From Dallas, Texas, number 55, Brian Broadus.
Thank you very much, Lucius. Always appreciate you playing that. And thank you to Hurtado and also to Reliant as well. Can I ask you guys a real quick question? You know, Wolchuk, you and I played King of the Road today.
It was a fun game. I thought it was another good episode. We had fun.
Is it better than King of the Hill?
Maybe not. King of the Hill's characters are really cool.
Yeah.
All those characters they have are really cool. But I played a game with the guys this morning called King of the Road.
King of the Road.
And I tried to do it in a way where I put two players, one offense, one defense together, and you tell me who needs to be like the best. Who needs to be? I called it the King of the Road.
Okay, like who do you want?
Who
does this team need to be the dog?
Yeah, this guy. And so, Eric, I'm going to throw one at you.
I'll catch it.
And see if you see what. And I had several. Maybe we'll go back to it. And then we'll do the scouting reports. I promise you. I got a Johnny Cornelius I want to talk about because I didn't feel like I did him enough justice of what he potentially could be. I wanted to watch him. And then also to Charles Snowden, who we got from the Raiders. Is another one we haven't talked much about.
It's about time you started talking about it, Johnny Cornelius.
Yeah.
I've only been talking about it for months now.
Have you really?
No.
Okay. I was trying to remember if we had.
No,
trust me, when I do this, I'm like, oh, did Wolchuk talk about it?
Somebody already said this. Right, I'm busting your balls.
Eric, I'm going to ask you this question.
Okay.
King of the Road. King of the Road. George Pickens or Caleb Downs?
A good one,
yeah,
dude.
Right.
And see, I went through a lot of them here. I have several. I mean, we had a whole show.
Some
of doing
them
this.
Were really tough. Yeah. Brian made us think.
Yeah.
I mean, of course you want both of these guys to be unbelievable this year, but I think the defense needs Caleb Downs to be a monster more than the offense needs George Pickens. It's not an indictment on George in any way, because the offense is definitely a lesser version of itself if it doesn't have Pickens out there doing his thing. But you have enough reinforcements offensively, you really need Caleb Downs to be everything that he's been cracked up to be.
Did you agree with what he said?
I do agree with what he's saying, although I went with George Pickens.
He picked George Pickens.
And you're going to have to tune into the stack tomorrow to find my answer.
Give that out. Eric, let me give you one more. Maybe I'll give you a couple more, since you're doing them pretty quick. Tyler Smith or Quinnen Williams? King of the Road.
Yeah, I mean, I still think like if your defense is going to have much of a chance, you got to have Quinnen Williams being a top tier defensive tackle like he's been throughout his career. I think you need Quinnen Williams more than you need Tyler Smith.
Javonte Williams or Rashawn Gary? King of the Road.
Ooh, this is probably the toughest one.
It's a tough one, right?
Yeah this is. Tough. I'll still probably go Gary.
Okay.
I'm going to go.
Eric has no confidence in his defense.
No.
Well, I mean, I understand why. They were so damn bad last year.
They were so damn bad. Yeah. And if Gary doesn't end up, if he can't be a really good run defender for you at the very least, that's going to present some serious challenges for you.
Do you feel better about your depth at edge or running back?
I probably feel better with the edge guys.
That's why Williams was the answer for me.
Yeah.
And I'm hopeful on both, right? Like, we're both really hopeful Blue can step up because we need him to. And I'm bullish on Moffa. I think I'm probably, like, more into Moffa than maybe anybody at the station. But I do feel better about the depth behind Gary, although I don't think there's a wrong answer. But I did go with Williams more so for that reason.
Yeah, I understand that. I still just feel like the offense can handle, you know, one guy not being productive or being injured or something. Mm-hmm. Of course, not named Dak. Like, they can make up for any one player. Whereas defensively, I just think, man, it is all hands on deck. You need every single one of these guys to be what you brought them in to be. And for Gary, that was one of their bigger moves of the offseason.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Okay, we'll keep going here.
Yes. Till I pick an offensive player over a defensive player.
I'm going to see if you'll do it.
Yeah.
I'm going to see if you'll do it.
Yeah, give a right answer.
King of the road, Cooper Beebe or D Winners?
Don't you dare go offense on this one, you dirty little rotten snake.
This is more challenging because I don't really know. I guess it's going to be TJ Bass playing center for you.
Well, that's a great point, Eric. That's a great point that somebody on the show has also made.
Yeah.
That's a tough one.
I'm still going to go D Winners, though. Yeah, I mean, you got nothing at linebacker.
Yeah, I went D2. But I am worried about, like, if you lose BB, you don't have a backup center.
Yeah.
Maybe TJ Bass plays better than we think, like, in preseason. Yeah. But, gosh, that's a concern.
I think Bass will be serviceable, and you're still insulated with Booker and Smith. So, once again, and it puts more on Dak's shoulders for sure, but I think he can handle that. If D Winters is not going to be a good linebacker for you, then there's going to be a lot of problems.
And the big standout to me was just Brian saying D Winters was the one linebacker that just didn't rotate out.
Yeah.
Like, he was the constant guy.
Yeah, yeah. He's supposed to be their every down dude.
Ryan Flannoy or Kobe Durant?
I will go Kobe Durant. That's actually pretty easy.
That's an easy one for you?
Yeah, that's an easy
one. That's an easy one for
you. You got Lamon Pickens, man.
Tyler Booker or Donovan Ezeraco?
España has scored. Spain has scored in the 88th minute to take a 2-1 lead over Belgium.
Okay. It was Tyler Booker and Ezeraco?
Yeah.
I think so highly of Booker, but once again, dude, I'm going back to the defense. Ezeraco needs to be able to hopefully be a much better pass rusher than he was last year, but at the very least, he's another guy that you're depending on holding the point of attack in the run game so you can play light boxes and nickel and still be able to stop the run. It's still going to be the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, he's gone completely with the defense. I mean, that's
all D.
It's just that the defense is that worrisome to you.
And on the flip side, the offense is that legit to where one piece of it can be made up for.
Yeah.
So, I think it's relatively easy to go with every single one of these defensive guys when it's just a one for one. Mm-hmm. Did anybody else do that?
No.
Nobody else did that. Zach and Aisha, and we went through all these names, and they were going back and forth on them.
Okay, so which one are you most annoyed by that I went defense over the offense?
Honestly, not annoyed by any.
I don't think there's any wrong answer.
I think for all of them, I could make a case for both. Yeah. So I think the ones that you went to, like, I don't necessarily disagree. Javonte Williams, though, I would take because of all the pass protection and just I think he's critically important for this offense just because of the unknown behind him.
I get that for sure.
All right, thank you for playing that. All right,
That's a fun game.
I looked at a couple of scouting reports, a couple of players that, like, they're kind of under the radar here. We were talking about it again over at Crown about because we were talking about the edge rushers. You guys very much familiar with Charles Snowden's game?
Not a ton. No, I can't say I was checking into the Raiders a lot.
6'6", 240.
Big dude.
Listen, this is where you're at with Charles Snowden. Plays both the left and the right. Plays as a stand-up outside linebacker. Here's a guy that could give you some, like, legitimate pass rush. Watching him play with the Raiders in several of their games, watching him play run defense, I was amazed of how the length that he has for the position. And at 6'6", again, at 240, the way he's able to get off the block. You usually think with long guys, they're not very quick. I think the Raiders might have made a mistake here, letting this guy go. This might be one of those sneaky, when you get to camp, all of a sudden, like, wait, who's that number 49 that's long arm, showing quickness?
6'6", 250.
Yeah.
That's like a guy you want off the bus, right? Yeah. First off the bus.
But you look at how he was playing in those games. I was watching all their games and just watching him play run defense and the way he was able to extend on blockers. Get those blockers kind of stalemated and then get off and then get to the football.
So he's using the length that he has.
He's using the length, yeah. I'm not trying to, like, just cheerlead for a guy because I didn't know very much. I mean, we saw him play the Raiders last year. And, sometimes you notice guys, sometimes you don't. But when you really, really study this guy's game, there's something to it. This is a guy with a two-year contract. You know, it's not just a one-year deal. So maybe they're thinking that this guy's going to be around a little bit. So I'd keep an eye on number 49, Charles Snowden, during training camp. Maybe with the three live mics, we could also – he'll do some stuff that stands out. I was trying to think of something, too, because I was looking at all the backup offensive linemen. And I remember a Johnny Cornelius coming out of Oregon.
Oh. Yeah. What just happened?
You had the goalie totally leave the net to try and crash on Belgium that was coming up the wing, and they tried to center it. There was an empty net, but Spain slid and was able to make a tremendous play to kick it away. But that was a dangerous attempt at an equalizer for Belgium with 7 minutes in extra time.
Yeah, they're in stoppage time right now. But a Johnny Cornelius, though, at 6'5", 318 pounds, backup-type guy. This might be, Vach likes to talk about second year being the peanut butter year, where you put a little weight on, put a little strength on. I was watching him play in the preseason against the Rams, holding his own, watching against the Ravens, holding his own. This guy might be more competitive than I want to give him, that I was giving him credit for.
I liked him at Oregon. I remember that.
But this good athlete,
yeah,
strong.
You think he could have some guard flex to him? You think they might play him in both?
They were thinking about maybe playing him inside, but I think he's right tackle. Okay.
I think they could use one.
I think he's an absolute right tackle. This guy might be one of those, all of a sudden we start to look in like, okay, well, who are linemen 6, 7, 8? I know we've talked a lot about with the rookie, with Shelton, and they've got Cornelius kind of behind Shelton in the depth chart. That's a right tackle, but I think Shelton's going to battle for the left tackle spot. But keep an eye on Johnny Cornelius, the athletic ability, the strength, the size. He might be a guy that's going to battle for the battle to be on this roster. I see why they kind of kept him around, but I just wanted to go back and say, is there anybody else? And this guy clearly caught my eye. Watch it. So. That's one of those guys where you're just like, well, how many guys they've got? I mean, because we're trying to think about how many offensive linemen are they going to keep?
Sure.
8, 9, 10, whatever. Cornelius could put himself in a position to be one of these guys, to be one of the backup tackles. And so I wanted to make mention of him because of the tape that he had in the preseason was actually really, really good. And they kind of stashed him away a little bit, but I'm looking forward to seeing how he participates at training camp.
That'd be a blessing, dude. Can't have enough
absolutely.
Of those guys.
Yep, absolutely.
Thank you very much, Brian.
Thank you.
All right, still 2-1. Spain trying to hold on, about 3 minutes left of extra time as Belgium is doing everything they can to try and get an equalizer and force. Well, this is a stoppage time to force extra time there in the quarterfinal. Let's hit a mixed bag. Wiener controversy. Who's the best coach in college football? You ever stabbed anybody? That's next in the Nation.
Murray drops back to pass, steps up, he trips, he goes down, he's sacked. Von Miller powered his way through Calvin Beachum.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. It's time for some Dallas Cowboys news of the day. I know we discussed this in Crosstalk, but we will throw it out there. Von Miller posted a picture of himself on Instagram and his story in a Cowboys jersey. Now, of note, he also did that of himself in a Broncos jersey a little while back. Maybe he's just trying to raise awareness for his profile, or he's just trying to raise awareness for Raising Cane's.
Dude.
I don't know.
I get it. I understand.
Either way.
Yeah.
Is that your number one chicken strip seed, or is that a different conversation for another time?
It is a different conversation for another time, but
my apologies.
I'm much more of a fan of the sauce.
Okay.
Like the tenders are fine, but it's the sauce that does it for me. I overdo it on the sauce, too. I order too many extra sauces
Then
never have any left over. So I think I'm like, I ordered, that number's too big.
Is that an extra charge? Like, do you get a sauce and then, like, you got to buy the rest?
Yeah, you get one or two sauces,
okay,
and then you got to buy more.
All right.
And I'm like, give me 10. And they're like, you ordered 8 tenders, sir. And I'm like, I know. Give me 10 sauces. And then they just kind of look at
so
me
a little
like,
bit of a judgment
yeah,
from the Canes people.
I don't
people.
Need this
all
from
right.
you right now. And then, but I did learn the recipe just in case I need more. So
and this could be a conversation, like you said, for another day. I wonder, are people most fanatical about Raising Cane's sauce? Like, I'm not saying it has to be the most popular, but will people fight to the death the most for that sauce?
Blaine's is pretty good. Isn't that one from A&M?
That's right.
Yeah, that one's pretty good, too. So I'm not sure. Sauces are like... it's like music, you know? you like the music you like, even if some people don't like it. And so you never really know exactly what music people are going to like or what sauces they'll love.
Interesting. Now, by the way, on the Von Miller front, if you think he's serious about still playing football, he did have 9 sacks last year. If you just want to turn him loose on third down and see what happens, I have no idea what his price point is.
I venture to say that the Cowboys will not pay him his price point.
Fair.
Just to send him out on third downs because they have Malachi Lawrence.
Ah, and because it's not going to be $2
million. And because he's going to, if it's $5 million, they'll be like, it's too much.
Okay.
It's too much, guys.
Now, I wanted to try an exercise out with you guys. Now, DallasCowboys.com had thrown out the greatest offensive line of all time. If you could pick and choose from any spot in Cowboys history, what about the greatest defensive line in Cowboys history? We're going to go off of the assumption that we're running a 4-man front here, just for the sake of getting as many people as possible on this list. So they threw out that exercise as well, and we can tweak things a little bit along the way if you like. But if I told you I'm going to go with the absolutely terrifying defensive line of DeMarcus Ware, Bob Lilly, Randy White, and Harvey Martin, would that sound right to you? Now, I know there are other people, Charles Haley, Too Tall Jones, maybe some people want to throw out like Jethro Pugh or Leon Lett.
You hate my friend Tony Tolbert. I get it. I see where you're going with this. I love Tony Tolbert.
You are going to be really mad at me when I say he was not under consideration for my second team. I'm very sorry. I will rethink that.
What a jerk.
That is fair. I do apologize.
Kevin, you had that line mostly correct.
Okay.
I here's the unfortunate thing is I just don't know where I stand on Harvey Martin. Could be the greatest cowboy of all time. Is what a lot of people say. I would put Charles Haley in there.
Okay.
So I'm going to go Charles Haley, DeMarcus Ware on the outside, dude, what if we go with like a, what if we throw in a five man front? You know what I'm saying? Like now we're really cooking with some grease. Because that'd be that Bears 5-2 defense.
Man, then I put, okay.
You know what? 8-man front.
I don't even need cornerbacks. Like, I guess I'll just have a couple safeties back there. Yeah. Like, yeah,
by the sixth play, the quarterback's going to be so scared for his life, he's just going to be like, I just threw it in the air and hoped.
So if I run the controversial 8-1-2 format for my defense.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. I do like Bob Lilly and the Manster in the middle, though. Like those two. On my second team, I would be strongly considering Tony Casillas and Russell Maryland in that conversation, though. Russell Maryland
was a very good player.
Yes, he was. And probably didn't get as much. Like, people went, what the hell, whenever he was drafted with that pick, too. But a lot of people just, because of the position, doesn't get as much, maybe as love as he deserves. Don't forget about your boy Ed Too Tall Jones.
Yeah, so
football's a contact sport at any level.
Too Tall and Charles Haley were part of my second team, and one of the things about this is why I went with Harvey Martin. But look, what a fun problem to try to figure out, right? Should I go with Harvey Martin or Charles Haley? Hey, well,
yes.
Here's the good news. Yeah. Either way, you're probably going to be okay. I feel like Harvey Martin, and this is why you don't understand so many things about why he's been snubbed. He was even on the all-decade team in the 70s. But you look at his 1977. Was this surely one of the greatest seasons in the history of Cowboys football? He was first-team All-Pro because he led the league in sacks. He was the Defensive Player of the Year and the Super Bowl co-MVP. With a Manster. Like, that is an incredible, incredible all-time amazing season. Like I said, he was second-team All-Pro three more times, all-decade in the 1970s. I don't think he can go wrong with Harvey Martin, so I'm going...
Yeah, but how many other times did he have 20 sacks, you know?
Well, that's one of the things that
Zero.
That's one of the things that holds him down.
On either side of his 20-sack season, he had 14 and a half both years. So, well,
and like, they don't count it. Because remember, like when they started counting sacks,
gosh,
was too late. And that's one of the reasons I think he is one of several people that have been jobbed in terms of where they fit in the all-time story of the Hall of Fame.
Anybody that says no way on Tony Casillas, look, man, that is a personal thing. I love me some Tony Casillas. He's really nice to us.
Yes.
He always hops on our show.
He very much
and
is.
He cooks when he gets on this
yes,
air, too.
Yes, I agree with that. But
hey, man, don't forget about those Super Bowls. You know?
I loved those Super Bowls. And then, like, if you want to go with your...
you said when Jerry asked
yes,
about it.
Right. Yeah, I love those Super Bowls. I just
more.
Didn't love those three wins against the crappiest teams in the league. But, like... And we haven't even started to talk about, you just mentioned it's somebody like Tony Casillas. And like I said, Leon Lett, Jethro Pugh, Jay Ratliff, Leroy Glover. Like, those are people that I didn't even really have in for consideration. And if you put together a defensive line off of just that, you got a hell of a defensive line. But that just shows the depth historically for the offensive and defensive line. So we're agreed on where Lilly, Randy White, and then you're going to go Haley, and I'm going to go Martin on the end. Either one of them will lead the way on the second team. Then you've got Ed Too Tall Jones, and like it's a hellacious group that you can take a look at.
Man, I'm just going through this Cowboys link.
Don't read the follow up to the Tony Casillas.
Love me some Leon Lett, dude.
Yes!
I know he had two moments in history that stand out, but the play that he actually had, like, in between those times. And let's add this. Leroy Glover as a free agent here was a fantastic signing.
Right.
Like, Leroy Glover was a phenomenal player and a really good leader, too, for that defense. That's a guy that's going to go forgotten for a long time around here. But, Kevin, on DallasCowboys.com, they have him ranked third all-time defensive tackles. For the Cowboys behind White and Bob Lilly.
Okay, can I ask you Leon Lett question? I'm dead serious. I get the Miami one because you lost the game. Do you think there is too much made of the Leon Lett Super Bowl play considering you were winning by 35 points in the fourth quarter of that game? It did nothing to impact the outcome. Now, what it did impact is you would have then scored the most points in Super Bowl history. If you care about that, it's a big deal. Otherwise, I mean, you won the game.
I think you couple it with the Dolphins game.
So if the Dolphins thing never happened, you don't think as much?
No.
Okay.
You got to let me finish, Kevin. No, just,
Woo!
But also because it was such a big stage. Like, it's because it was the Super Bowl, and couple it with the Dolphins thing.
Okay.
And so that's what he kind of gets remembered for, was biggest stage out there. It wasn't that you did this. It was, if he'd never picked that ball, if he just laid down on that ball,
right,
we actually would probably have a better memory on both of them. If
right.
he just not touched one and then laid down on the other, better memory than what ended up happening, because that dude balled.
Yeah.
Like, he absolutely was a monster in the middle.
And then somebody said, now do this exercise with the 90s going forward. I mean, I think we hit most of those names. Obviously, now Charles Haley is in for both of us ahead of Harvey Martin. DeMarcus Ware is still there. Leon Lett is now going to move up into the mix.
What where Jay Ratliff lands for some people.
Yeah, I can see
Jay Ratliff, like, on Cowboys' website, they have Bob Lilly 1, Randy White 2, Leroy Glover 3, who, I go back and watch Leroy Glover play. He was great.
Yeah.
He also would go to the restroom on himself sometimes. And then
as a competitive advantage.
Yeah, as a competitive. And then they had Jay Ratliff 4.
Okay.
So, like, that's, I did not think of Jay Ratliff that way.
Right.
Because the pedigree coming out of college wasn't that, but he turned himself into a very fine player. Jim Jeffcoat overlooked.
Good friend of
well,
ours.
Well, that's because Kevin and him had it, they collided.
It was just the one time.
And from to the 972, I've made it very clear how I feel about Roy Williams. Coming out of OU, I thought he was going to be great. He disappointed when Darren Woodson left.
Yeah.
That was definitely that dude could light some people up. I think he broke more collarbones than most people out there.
Oh.
Emmitt Smith's being one of them, too.
They came up with a rule.
They did.
For him. So, I mean, look, that actually is the perfect.
And then he and I had a bad exchange in person, too. So that happened.
So, look, that'll actually perfectly lead into our next one.